Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show, the members section. And we're back with Katie Weirn, and we had a really interesting discussion leading up to the second segment. And almost a pity I didn't record some of the stuff we were talking about earlier, because it was pretty interesting, having to do with current events, because where we're at, just mentioned it very briefly, definitely been under subjected to hellacious weather weaponry here. And to go from steamy subtropical downpour torrents coming down and then waking up with a chill in the air and no more rain, right? From Katie's perspective, it was a hot house yesterday, extremely hot, extremely humid. And then this morning she wakes up and there's a chill in the air, right? And we're separated by, quite a distance. So without any further ado, Katie Weirn, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
Well, one of the many points of commonality you and I have is we have this understanding of the ET / interdimensional / subterrestrial influence on the surface of this planet, and also how there are civilizations, federations, even if one wants to go that far, or at least alliances, let's say, of various ET groups. And they're doing their best to undermine the activities of the nefarious Draco Orion, mafia gang we've got here going again. So I just like your thoughts, growing up, having that etheric third eye vision where you could see into other dimensions, other realms, and then the in-your-face 3D stuff that's happened ET-wise. So wherever you're comfortable starting, I'd love to hear it.
After we lived up in the rainforest in one area for a little while, we moved to another house in the same sort of locality. And I was about 8 years old. My little brother was 7 and my older brother would have been 12 at the time. My mum went out briefly and left the three of us alone at home. And we had two dogs at the time. We had a blue heeler and a staffy. And we were all playing inside the house together, just stuffing around. And the dogs were inside with us and they started growling and looking towards outside of the house. And we all stopped and started, looking to see what was going on. And sort of there was a wooden door, but it had two glass panels, one at the top and one at the bottom, and a piece of wood on each side. And I noticed that there was this little grey alien, one of the shorter types of ones, just looking around the glass through the bottom pane of glass, and then going back behind at the same time as well, and then sort of coming back out. We started freaking out because we were wondering what that was. The dogs weren't going towards it, but they were growling at it. We all ran in the bedroom, freaked out, because it was clearly something. There was something there. When we peeked outside the door again, we noticed there was more of them. And I think there would have been about 8 to 10 of them all on the balcony, all looking through the windows, looking at us.
Just to interject really quickly, around what time of the day was that? What was the conditions outside?
Okay, it was like late afternoon and it was overcast. Late afternoon towards the evening. Not full daylight, but you could still see clearly outside. It was before twilight and sunset. So we naturally stayed in the bedroom until Mum got home, but every time we looked outside, they were all there along the balcony. I talked to my older brother and younger brother about this a few times later on, and they all recall it very clearly. It's something you wouldn't forget, and that would have to be one of the ones where I did actually feel a bit of fear, because it was kind of spooky, and I didn't feel like it felt like they were curious, but at the same time menacing, like they wanted to come in, you know, or for us to go out. But yeah, it's fear was definitely triggered during that, as only a young child at the time. So that's one of the experiences I've had. I do feel that it was related to the red coloured ships, as I'd seen UFOs, as I'd seen them before.
Were these a type that looked like red fiery fireballs? Or are they more structured, or could you describe what they look like?
So just like a red orb, basically, but large, not small, all red, not actual like silver disc or with red lights. They're actually just all red. So yeah, it definitely felt connected to that, because I'd seen these little ones before in the other house, in the forest at the other house as well, but nowhere near.
About 3.5 feet tall, a little. Little. Were they frail or were they more stubby?
They were frail, with frail tiny bodies with a large head, and quite. That more almond-shaped eyes than the larger eyes, the large black eyes, no nose or anything like that, pointy, quite pointy chins. That very upside, more pointy, obviously, at the bottom for the chin, describing right shape, but yeah. An upside down teardrop, basically.
Yeah. And did the heads pretty much rest, you know, on the shoulder, or was there like a skinny neck propping it up?
Very short neck, but you couldn't really, couldn't really see it from front on. So the head was quite close to the shoulders. Only when they turned, you could actually see the length of the neck, which was quite short.
So you've seen those red ships, craft, more than once then?
Yes, at the first house where I was 4 or 5, where the other experiences took place. They were often in the forest.
And that wasn't too far from where this event you just described, that other place wasn't too far.
No, within probably an hour.
Okay.
My other siblings and my mum and her uncle, her brother, sorry, have all had similar supernatural experiences, especially with aliens and shadow beings. Quite a few instances of sleep paralysis. I haven't experienced it myself, but yeah, a lot of my family members have. So that would be another experience that I've had in regards to greys. They seem to be very attracted to our family for one reason or another. So not just me, but our whole family. I didn't always live with all my siblings either. I had lived with their dads, because there's a couple of dads, different dads. So, and they all had their own experiences like this, and some quite a lot more scarier. Intuitively, I feel that there is a hierarchy, and that it's very highly likely that, especially with greys, that they've been sent, you know, that someone has sent them you know, that they're working under something else, even the possibility of being created by something else. So yes, definitely other races I feel they're involved with.
Yeah, that's the impression I get for some of these types of beings, the grays and other beings like them, or at least with the somewhat familiar gray shape. They may be different colors, of course, but I've always thought of them kind of like the bomber crews. Yeah. You know, it's like they got missions to perform. I think some of them are definitely, they have enough consciousness, whether they were created or not, or whether they're their own species. There's enough self-awareness that they can carve out their own piece of the pie as far as genetic, you know, theft and all this other stuff going on. Hybridization.
Yes.
So some of them are just total automatons. And I've seen those types. They just scurry around and, you know, hold up instrument trays and things like that. But other types, they'll do that gopher type work, the heavy lifting for the reptilians, especially in the Draco. But some of them are aware enough, okay. And there's a tacit understanding with the reps, Drax, and the mantis beings that, okay, you know, you work for us and we'll kind of turn a blind eye to what you do, you know, genetic hybridization or mining, whatever other things you got going on here. Just don't let it interfere with your work with us, the reptilians, right? So definitely there are hierarchies involved. And I've always thought of Australia as this mega alien base kind of. I mean, they got it all going on here underground. Even when I was in America, we would almost talk about Australia in hushed terms, because, you know, the few cases that I became aware of when I was over there, they were always hardcore, like Null Arbor Plain and other ones, you know, where the Knowles family were being buzzed, driving along, buzzed by that, you know, low-flying craft, and then they got harassed by the spooks and everything. There's just so much activity here, even where I live. In my area.
That being said, in regards to the grays, I agree, and I do feel like they have their own experiments that they like to conduct, especially with around with genetics and pregnancies and things like that. My sister-in-law, she's had experiences of abductions and felt, and she's had 6 children, and a lot of incidences have happened for her, including abductions, I think from memory, during her pregnancies as well. And I don't know whether this means anything, but she has blonde hair and blue eyes, and so do all the children. So I don't know if that's anything to do with them being interested in that kind of genetics as well. I don't know, but you know, obviously I'm not blonde and blue eyes, and so, but yeah, I just thought I'd mention that.
Where you're at, have you noticed, have you ever noticed that at any time in that area or other parts of Australia that you lived at that had a high degree somewhat of ET activity, did you ever notice like a covert military presence, a spook presence at times, as far as, you know, aerial activity, helicopter activity, vehicular activity, base type activity?
Lots of black helicopters, yeah, at times. If these experiences had happened when I was older, I would have been looking around for someone, you know, following us or in a car or something like that, after I learned more about it over the years. I had visions of the rainforest range where I lived 4 or 5, having openings in it, and ships going in and out of it, out of the openings. I have seen that just as a vision. So I do feel there are bases, and I do feel mountains in particular are fantastic for those. But having physically seen with my physical eyes, no. But yes, black helicopters, interestingly enough, are around the same times of appearances, literally no air traffic. And then an incident will happen. It's happened here at this house, actually. And then helicopters will fly over. And I just felt like the timing of this is a little tiny bit too spot on. And other times I have actually heard things glide over the house, like machinery of some kind, but I haven't been able to see what it was.
Would you hear like a humming sound or something? Like directly over the roof?
Like more like a drone than a drone sound, that like a large one rather than a plane or a helicopter or anything like that. Just some strange sounds overhead whilst also having some interesting experiences here. So
some of these craft definitely emit radiation or emissions in a particular bandwidth, which the spooks, the military spooks, know what frequencies to tune into. So when their sensors pick up that activity, helicopters come swarming in. And it's not just because of the ETs themselves. It's they're wondering, okay, is there someone around here they're interested in, that we don't know about yet? So that way, a big family of, look at all that hybrid DNA, right? That's how some of that stuff starts,
That reminds me of some weird phone calls around the same time through the landlines, but there's no one there when you say hello.
Have you ever heard like clicks on the phone?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard a lot of them back in the 90s. Yes. The amount of clicks I used to get.
Yes, lots of that. Yes, lots of clicking. Some other times I've actually heard voices like of people talking.
Sometimes you'll catch, and this is intentional, you'll catch what seems to be like this conversation between two people, right? And at some level, obviously, they're talking about you, even though they're not mentioning you because they're on your phone, right? So after a while, it'll play or go on for a certain amount of time, then it'll hang up. What happened to me one time was the phone rang. I was going through a lot of harassment at this point. And, what they did was, because we each have a unique electromagnetic signature, right? They don't even need, the military for a long time hasn't even needed to implant people the way they can track us. Mm-hmm. But what they did was they synced up my location based on this electromagnetic signature I emitted. And then they worked it out in the city grid where whenever I got within like 10, 20 yards of a payphone, and they had a lot of payphones back then, the bloody thing would ring, right? Mm-hmm. So, there were times I'm driving along and then my more self-indulgent days, I see a donut shop on a Saturday morning and, completely spontaneously, I drive over there, I get out and get a couple of donuts, right? Well, as I'm going into the donut shop, I'm passing a payphone outside of it. The bloody thing will start ringing, right? So that was something like I thought I did entirely spontaneously. Oh, I think I'll get me a couple of donuts. And then once again, the phones. And so what was going on with me was when I was home or when I was at work, the phones would ring. And if I was at work, I had to answer. But when I was at home, just to make the bloody thing stop ringing, right, because it would just ring nonstop if there was no one else home. So I'd pick it up. And then on one occasion, well, probably more than one, but they didn't say anything. It was just silence at the other end. And then this is where they start playing with your mind, You can hear them breathing. You can hear them start to walk. And you can hear the steps. And your mind is filling in the blanks. Oh, he's walking around his desk, And then it's like, it sounds like he's picking up a pencil or a pen and, rolling it along the desktop and dropping it. And all the while, I was like screaming into the phone. I thought, "F the one, just leave me alone," because by that point, right, I was just because I was working at the airbase and I wanted to be by me. I want to get your story. See, like there's some degree of resonance here, but you know, at work I had to answer the phone and then I'd still hear the clicks and you know, all that stuff. So, you know, that's just one of the ways through the simple means of landline telephones that they can muck with someone's head. But anyway, please continue.
Where was I?
Yeah, we're just talking about the, you know, the ETs and then, you know, the helos and the spook and ball.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with them. When you know they're around and then sounds start happening, your mind sort of fills in the blanks, like you said. Had some, interesting experiences like that. Knocks at the door as well. And go and check, and there's no one there.
Or the doorbell ringing, and no one's there. And also, yeah. I think ETs can do this, but I think remotely the military can do it too. They can do a series of knocks on the walls in the middle of the night, like knock, 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 like in threes, knock. Right?
Threes, yes. Yeah.
You know, I remember the point I was going to make. Sorry, it just took me a while to cycle back to it. When
you're right.
I was going through my own period of because it runs in cycles with me. You know, high activity ET wise.
Yeah.
Around that time period, this weird kind of holographic universe mystical stuff used to happen, like, you know, things disappearing and reappearing in different parts of the house, you know, doors locking by themselves. And, you know, it's just like the phenomena level started to amp up right as I'm having all these experiences. And gradually, what it did over for me, right, was. It just told me that this universe and what I've been indoctrinated in believing this reality is like is nothing that they taught me, right? Or try to brainwash me into thinking. But there's so much more going on that you can't quantify or fit into a box. And so incrementally, all these weird things happening on top of the ET experiences, it just really just shattered all these paradigms, which was great because I needed that to happen.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, the same thing happened to me incrementally over time and feel the same about cycles as well. I'm starting to notice patterns a lot more with some of the increased activity, especially during summer. It seems to be a very active time for especially reptilian Draco situations for me, from what I've seen, in conjunction with things like animal signs, snake signs, like just to let me know that the energy is around, and it doesn't always necessarily represent reptilians or dragons or dracos, but a lot of the time it has, and that for me has been about letting me know that these forces are actually working through people that I'm interacting with at the same time. So a literal snake, but in a person. And I learned a lot through quite a lot of pain and betrayal through that, through those kinds of hosting and possession situations a lot. And noticed how all these experiences all actually lead up to, you know, these quite at times traumatic events. And I look back and I go, okay, that really seemed like preparation for what's going on right now. And that was an awakening in itself. That just, that sort of realization absolutely blew me away that there's been, you know, there's been preparation, there's been training, there's been, all of these past experiences that helped me cope with these quite larger experiences that I've had have had quite a deep impact. Some of them, you know, went soul deep and really broke my heart in ways that I haven't ever had my heart broken before through the kinds of betrayals and energy vampirism that happens with people that are hosted by specifically reptilians, Dracos.
And can you see the entity that's taking them up as a host sometimes?
Yes, it seemed like these ones are, they're so good at even putting a cover over a cover so that you can't see who they really are, like a mirror image, even just so it's you're only seeing what it wants you to see because it knows that you're trying to see what it is. Because if I can identify it in that way, then I know what I'm really dealing with. So I find that they do mirages. And so you think you're seeing something, but it's not. And I kind of feel when they're doing that, there's a kind of, how do you say it, magic. Black magic to it in a sense, their power,
There may be something in
their
your auric
soft.
field that they see that says, oh, she may be able to see us, you know, so they add
Yes.
on an extra layer. Whereas, you know, because I've heard it from other
Yeah.
people that can that have the etheric third eye vision, they have to do a poker face. They can see the entity, but like they kind of look out of the corner of their eye at it. They don't look at it directly because if they
Yes.
look at it directly, the hosting entity takes it up as a challenge. Oh, you see me, huh? Right. So it's
Yes.
almost like they have to have a poker face.
Yes. So sometimes, yes, I can. They actually, a lot of them actually have looked like worms, like I can't think of the name of them. They're like a worm, but with lots of teeth, with teeth inside. And behind, it's definitely either an actual type of reptilian or it's a parasite of the reptilians that they use to siphon the energy or trigger the person, you know, feed off the energy of the person essentially and control them. These ones seem to be connected at the back of the neck that I've noticed, hooked into the occipital ridge. So sometimes I'll actually see dragons, an actual shape of a dragon actually coming at me in the ethereal astral realm. Just like you said, if you see them, sometimes they see it as a challenge, especially if there's something like that, they will come for you. And other times it's been the more humanoid looking reptilians. And so they look like humans, but they have the snake skin and look very, very human, like very much like us, just obviously, you know, they're obviously reptilian because of the skin and the eyes. And they'll be, it's like they're standing behind the person when I see them like that. And you use they use some kind of, like I was saying, some kind of mirage where they it'll actually look like a person, just a normal person, smiling, a really charming smile, so that you know, you won't think to go beyond that, look through it essentially.
What does their energy usually feel like? How would you describe it? I know it's sometimes it can feel icky, but just, you know, your impressions.
Icky. And like it does not want to be in your presence at all. When they're around me, the person will usually find an excuse to leave. They'll leave. Use in conversations, they'll use if they know things about you, much like how a narcissist crosses your boundaries to trigger you, they'll do the same. They'll do the same. They'll say the same sort of lines. If they know anything personal about you, they will twist it to get a a negative reaction from you so that your vibration drops. And then obviously the interaction is happening where energy is going back and forth between you and them. So they'll say things to deliberately trigger you. It's very similar to narcissists when they're fishing for supply, any kind of supply.
And some of them also have the ability, the really hosty ones, that some of them may be adepts, you know, all into dark magic and what have you. They can plug right into the information field and or someone's, if they don't have strong enough auric shields, for example, plug right into someone's memory banks. And, you know, just because of the hive conscious connection they have to every other raping, manipulating reptilian out there in the multiverse, they can plug into the memories that this individual in front of them had, where that entity worked through someone else, some other perp, and their ability to just seamlessly plug into that information field of things that other reps at other times had done is phenomenal. But really, it's just an understanding, a know-how of plugging into the information field and the subconscious of these people, and then playing it, right? Because they know, excuse me, if someone, in our example, like a woman has had buried submerged trauma that she has entirely safely divested herself of, that inner energy block of blocked back energy to a skilled reptile hybrid host, adept, whatever, they can tap right into that. Start making her feel anyway, yeah. Agitated, aroused, fearful, right? And then make her start. In a subservient state. A subservient state, because she may start to feel the energy or the energy spike she used to feel from an abuser. I used to beat her at some time in the past. Ooh, she gets that vibe again, puts her on the defensive. And like you said, some of these narcissists, they start playing it like a violin at that point.
Yes. And keep you in these feedback loops over and over and over. You're repeating them so you don't really evolve out of it, which is what I find happens when they're hosting people. There's no evolution taking place, or very, very little learning, and absolutely nothing to indicate that there's something going on with them at that spiritual level when it comes to becoming aware of, you know, that they're being hosted. And the ego defense mechanisms of that are quite intense. They can get quite defensive of their, you know, part of them has become.
It's their sense of entitlement, where they think the entity working through the hybrid host, it's a sense of entitlement where we can abuse you, we can manipulate you, we can't put you in the defensive, and then I can start to play on your mind to bend your will to mine, right? And it becomes a game to them. And if the woman has gone through enough abuse at an earlier age, it hadn't been processed out, she could fall right into that master-slave relationship. And I've seen that play out many, many times. And these perps are very good at it. That's what they do. That's how they get their, you know, their props, basically.
Yeah. I've definitely put together that they're sleep paralysis as well as like astral incubus, succubus type situations happen as well at night in the bedroom. It's and triggering that arousal like you were talking about, and them engaging in, you know, astral and ethereal sex, you might say, with the actual being as well. That's been something that I've experienced as well. Not with the reptilians or anything like that, but just with entering into those realms and not being conscious of what you're doing. You think you're just fantasizing when you're not aware of these things, but it goes a lot further than that. It's much deeper. It's much, which is how I actually got to, part of how I got to know the astral and ethereal realms and bodies separately through these types of experiences as well. just with people trying to come into my energy field at night in the bedroom has been quite common, and I've had to clear my template quite, and at which point this a lot of astral harassment for me when it comes to that kind of thing, sexually or even just in general, which I just class what I call our spiritual warfare, basically unwanted attention being directed towards you. So I basically, she said she had a dragon in her bedroom with her and for about 4 months, and it quite a lot of sessions to cut and remove this energy off, because she'd actually fed the entity or the dragon her energy through actually enjoying the interactions for so long, and that creates a stronger bond/cord between you and the being, and the stronger the connection, the more difficult it can be to and move on, because it becomes part of a pattern and a habit, and you know, certain chemical releases in the body, and
The endorphin rush alone,
you know, obviously,
and the way that some, like the Dracos and reps, and you know, some of the dragons, like you mentioned, their ability to engender such powerful sexual chi and induce full body orgasms in these women that could last, you know, leave them breathless and last for a long period of time. And that, when that happens, of course, they were so open psychically that that energy or some, and oftentimes these astral, you know, reptilian human hybrid astral rapes, and there's many of them out there, they can do that too. And then once that woman has, you know, had that effect, their minds are so open and they become very psychic for some of them for a period of time after these sexual encounters, right? So that could be exploited. I've known of military black ops where the reptilian comes in, rapes the woman, brings her to a heightened state of arousal, and then immediately she's teleported to an underground base and they start tasking her with a remote viewing the Persian Gulf, right? I mean, that's how systematic and seamless it is.
Yes. Yeah. It's quite powerful, that is for sure, because it's not an energy that you come across in everyday conversations or going out to a bar and picking someone up and taking them home. It's a totally different kind of energy, like different sexual energy that you're dealing with. And obviously there are different types of sexual energy, just like I feel like there is a spectrum of trauma, all different kinds of trauma, and I'm designing a wheel at the moment personally, because I've linked it up to all different types of experiences, so I'll be sharing that soon. Just the different levels of it, there's the, you know, emotional and psychological, and then there's sexual, and then there's physical, and just you know, how often, and all these different kinds of things, work on a spectrum that I've sort of, been coming up with, that I'll be sharing, just to help people get really deep into this stuff for their own self-work, for doing the inner work on the emotional body and then the mental body and astrally and ethereally, but also just becoming more aware of the chakra and meridian systems as well, because these are just such powerful ley line centers of the body that many people are, you know, are either shut down or they're wide open, and if they don't have good boundaries and things like this, the experiences that these people have are quite phenomenal, just from people, you know, taking advantage of that and other beings as well, obviously, the entities that are attached to them. So,
and each chakra point, and people tend to think of the chakras as the ones along the spinal column, right? But as you know, they're in the palms of our hands, our elbows, our knees, or we have chakras, you know, above us, and, you know, number of feet below us, you know, beneath the earth's soil. So it's, you know, concentric circles, if you will, that are all interlinked. And they each one has a potential to go into another dimension entirely. I mean, that's how powerful these things are. And what you described is these entities, some of the Draco are very good at this. They can just do that sexual chi thing. And the amount of electromagnetic current frequency just, you know, going through them. And that's where the term, the Kundalini, the chi and the Kundalini rising, you know, these esoteric disciplines is the operative word, where they take a lot of time, breath work, and years, even leading up to, you know, that some people call it tantric work, whatever the case may be. But it's not something that's just rushed into, right? The way that these dark cults, covens, Draco, reptilian oriented, let's say, it's all forcible. It's all just based on, you know, sexual magical rape, essentially, and just a mass transfer of energy from the person, the woman, our example, to, you know, the entity or the hybrid host magus adept, right? It's all parasitic, essentially, but it's all one way for the most part, because if that woman doesn't have the ability or the means to get away from them for one thing, or get away from the entity, make it stop, and then safely over time work out and process it out and get her chakras working the way she wants to, that could leave her in a very unstable physically and emotional spiritual state for a while.
So my experience with the chakras has actually been, they're a different, each of them is like accessing a different dimension, and each of those dimensions has a different density and a color to it. And each of those colors and dimensions has a specific type or specific types of beings that actually are there. You know, that's their ray. Like, you know, I always call myself like a, you know, a blue ray in starseed terms. Okay. Which is like the blue color. So each of these beings also exists within those rays at times, and they're not able to go to other rays, which is what I, you know, and change, they're actually trapped within that ray. So when you go into that dimension, you're dealing with a specific type of being or archetype that is general to, they dwell in that specific color, that specific dimension. And so what I've found is with the false light and the inversion is that they have copied this, and they mimic each of the colors. So it appears like it's natural, but it's not. It's basically their version of it. And people often that are, when they talk
it's,
about
it's their, mimicry, it's mimicry.
Yes. And they mimic the light, right? And all different colors, which represent different dimensions, different basically, or access points to those dimensions. It relates to a color, like a stargate as well, entering through the chakra. So what I've noticed is that spiritual bypassers and those in the New Age movement who are having these opportunities and experiences like we all are to do this work and to travel into different dimensions or move through them in order to evolve, what I've noticed is that with the New Ages is that is they get caught in the false light of it. They feel like it's the real thing, but it's not. It's because they're not actually doing the work of that dimension, of that chakra. They're bypassing the shadow aspects of that, and you have to do them to move into the next one. Essentially, you have to do the work around each chakra dimension before you can have access to the other ones. Sometimes you can quantum leap and skip over, but all that stuff that you have skipped over will actually come up. For you to be able to maintain that next level, you have to have done the work of the previous level, basically. It will catch up with you. And then that quantum leap that you've taken, you're unable to maintain it because all this work is behind you. And it's going to pull you back down there in order to do it. It's like raising your vibration, but not being able to
sustain it.
Sustain it. And also, if you do happen to, what I've noticed is if you do happen to raise your vibration and have a breakthrough out of your norm and you're breaking, you know, some habits, patterns or whatever, and that lightens your density so that you're able to raise your frequency, that's when, you know, these forces come in as well, because they want you back down where you were previously. Yeah,
they before. Want you in a sewer, like certain you, lower bandwidth that they can.
Yeah, so you're pinging that morphogenetic field when you pierce those veils, you know. So they'll come along and test you, see if you can really maintain that new level. That is how I've seen it. So I approach it like they're a teaching force when this is happening for me rather than to me. So that takes the victim consciousness
that's right,
out
that's
of it.
Right. I'm like, oh, it's like,
yeah. I'm being taught some lessons right yeah. now. I don't like it, but
they're literally
it is.
Testing you. They're literally testing your metal.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
And what happens yeah. also is what I've observed in the New Age movement is one thing about, and this goes ties right into the reptilian narcissism aspect. One thing I've seen the neg ETs do again and again is they strive to activate the ego of the person, the New Ager in our example, yeah. because
I'm better than you.
Yes. Yeah. Once the ego is activated, yeah. it makes it far easier for that entity to come in and, you know, start driving yeah. the ship, basically. Because yes. what will also happen is the dog and pony act will kick in, where the person thinks they're doing a lot of this magical hoochie-coo, right? But really, it's these entities helping them along and further, you know, puffing out that ego. To the
exactly.
point where they think they have all these powers and they're, you know, like an ascended master type being. But really, it's
yeah.
the entities working through them, and entities are providing energy when they need to, right? And so what yes. happens is it's like when someone takes a bunch of steroids to buff up, and then you see these athletes that are all roided out. They're always pulling hamstrings, pulling ligaments, what have you, because their body just isn't designed to have that much bulk, and really, you know, the skeletal musculature is actually weakened and not strong enough. Something of a metaphysical, energetic aspect happens with these New Agers is they think they're pushing the bounds of energy work and breath work further and further out, but they don't realize how much they've been helped and how much through ego activation the entity is now, you know, driving the ship.
Yeah, especially what I feel like is key, what you said there, is that going out, you know, going further out, when it's all about going further in, like out there, oh, la la land, not inside. And that you can pick that up. It's an obvious energy when you've been doing the, you know, you've been on the path or been doing the path work for a long time. I have been tagged as because I have a happy-go-lucky personality, so it's challenging stuff. I'm able to still laugh and, you know, I have quite a good sense of humor, and I'm still able to maintain quite a good vibration throughout challenges. Yes, I go down, but I have quite a, yeah, a higher frequency, I guess you could say, that gets me pegged for it a lot, especially if I publicly, if I don't share some woundings and how I've healed them and things like that, and you're only sharing the positive stuff, you know, within this community, you can really easily get pegged for being a New Ager. I also have experienced trauma, like I've said, but to me it wasn't traumatic. Now, I don't know if that's part of being traumatized, but for me it's like I've only reached out to two counselors throughout my life, two sessions of counseling, actual counseling. One of them is on our level. Consciously, I felt they were on our level and had also gone through childhood trauma and openly shared that publicly, the kind of work that they were doing on themselves, like publicly. So I thought this person is well equipped to maybe help me through when I realized my ex would betrayal that I experienced. I, as well as all these other things that were happening in my personal life, it's like it wasn't just that, it was friends to, I feel, exploit my vulnerabilities and try and really take me down. That's what it felt like, because it wasn't just one event, it was a cluster. Fuck, if you don't mind me saying.
No, please.
And I was feeling very vulnerable.
What happens is, yeah, the ability of these entities to work through so many people at any one time, and it seems, you know, like it's literally a spiritual form of gang stalking, because of the ability of the entities to instantly go into someone, make them say something, which may sound innocuous to anyone else, but has a meaning to you. Sometimes not a pleasant meaning, you know what I mean? And then the person snaps out of it. They don't even know they said it, right? But that's how.
Yes, you know.
So, you know, it's a strong person to have to, you know, deal with all that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Gang stalking. Basically, at that time, every single person I thought I could trust, I was not able to. I was literally betrayed one person after another. It had to do with a coven, I realized in the end. An unconscious coven, so the worst kind. Lots of black magic went on there, which involved a lot of the snake signs, which is now why I really pay a lot of attention to animal signs, because the specific animals were around during these times, really letting me know what the go was. And so with this counselor that I reached out to, that I thought would be able to help me during all of this, they too also
stabbed you in the back.
Yes, and it added to what I was already going through. It added another level. And something I hadn't experienced before, which was like psychic darts. And I was already going through black magic where my back was burning. My whole back was covered in sores from scratching. I was getting itchy, really, really itchy. Sores.
That could have been frequency modulation with, you know, black magic hoochie-coo on top of it.
Like burning ears. When I knew I was being talked about, it's like I was being, it was like an initiation, basically. And, so with this counsellor, I only shared my NDE and they broke down crying after I shared just that one experience. Now, I understand having empathy, but you are going to a professional here and someone who advertises their service as such. And not only that, but is esoterically quite up there and advanced as far as I could tell. And it's just something, even through my own studies, that you don't do. You're
okay,
meant
so
to be...
he broke down. He started weeping.
Yes, after I shared one experience.
Yeah, see, because there's no neutrality there. He's supposed to hold space. He's supposed to hold
exactly.
neutral ground, right?
Yeah.
You know, be a foundation, yeah. A rock from which you could, you know, lean on for support. Instead, he's all, you know, geez.
Instead, they wept like a, and I thought, this doesn't seem right.
How many of them were weeping?
Oh, just the one. Oh, one counselor. Yeah. The next one I went to was not a conscious counselor, so really couldn't help me. Couldn't provide me with that. I actually just went in to get checked out and to check my mental health, because I'd been through so much and I had no one that I felt I could trust at that point, that I trusted the advice, because I was being told a lot of things, but then other things were happening to show me that I couldn't trust people at the time. The actions weren't matching.
Yeah.
And my whole story kind of got, not kind of, but it got gossiped around town, and I only confided in one person.
You probably distorted
so it
too. Yeah.
It's, yes. Oh, terribly, because, I had actually called someone out for being narcissistic. I stooped to a level. I stooped to their level, basically. I took the bait. There was passive aggression for over a year towards me, and I knew.
Sometimes,
and eventually,
you can only take so much sometimes. You know, sometimes you just got to, deflation sets in, and then,
Then I actually researched and studied it and went, oh, okay, no, it's normal. If someone's passive aggressive towards you, eventually the person does snap. And if you are dealing with a narcissist, they'll turn it around on you and say, you're the crazy one. Look at you. Look at you right now. And that's exactly what was happening to me. So I had it in the textbooks in front of me whilst also having the experience. And it's actually, I didn't call them a narcissist. I called them out for that type of behavior, and then they got triggered from this and then went textbook on me, and I was literally studying it at the same time because of what I've been through with my ex. I just identified it, so here I am with a physical a textbook come to life just to completely confirm everything that I was experiencing.
Well, yeah, you're right. This is an example of the Matrix.
Things I've never seen.
Yeah. This is an example of the Matrix.
Yeah,
this
things
Draco
I have.
System just rising up, and but thankfully you overcame all these challenges. So, and we're all a work in progress. I wouldn't presume to say I've overcome all of my challenges, but we're both works in progress. Let's put it that way. But there's so much more to say, but we'll have to have you back on again, because we're just scratching the surface here about some of the Well, tell you what, I definitely will want to catch up with you again soon, and definitely want to have you back on the show again, and because we got so much more to discuss.
Fun.
Yeah, it will be. And to our dear listeners out there, thank you for watching and listening. And or listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show with our guest, Katie Wiern. And like I said, we'll have her back again. And wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing, have a very pleasant time. And we'll see you next time. Bye for now. Because this is a frequency war.